Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, so those of you who have been to COP know just what we're doing today, and each part of this service will likely trigger a variety of wonderful memories of your time at camp. Maybe you're remembering one of the chapel service that you've been a part of. Maybe you're remembering lining up early as a third or fourth grader for chapel, not necessarily to get the very best seat, but because you know you'll get out first and have a head start as you race to canteen. Or maybe you're thinking back to those dances. Crowded, a little sweaty, a tad awkward, but oh, so much fun later that night. If you haven't been to COP yet, whether as a camper or a volunteer, then just a couple words of explanation might help. I'll start with the basics, COP. That stands for Cathedral of the Pines, a 140-acre camp just north of Lutzen, where Mount Olivet kids and their friends have been experiencing the love of God made tangible through caring relationships, Bible study, fun and games, and the beauty of nature since the summer of 1949. That is 70 years come this June. The service we're holding today is a lot like the chapel services we hold every evening at camp, beginning with the Singspiration, where campers call out their favorite songs, and always ending with the Christmas carol all throughout the summer, which I just love. We do a lot of singing at our chapel services. Some of those songs are in a hymnal down here at the big church too, but not the majority of them. Some may be familiar to you, but many of them might not be. Until you've been at camp for a little while though, and in a pretty short time, the words and music of those songs have sunk deep into your heart. And because we've been singing these songs together for 70 years, we have three, maybe four generations of Mount Olivet members bound together by this and other experiences at camp. So I said that this morning's service is a lot like the chapel services each night at Cathedral of the Pines, but not exactly the same. We can't recreate the view, of course, of sitting at chapel and looking out over Lake Caribou. And it's hard to recreate the prayers as well. Like the time of open prayer just after the message, when campers pray out loud and with confidence about what they're thankful for, or for someone in their life who's having a hard time. There's another prayer, too, that's hard to recreate, and that's the prayer offered just before the message. It's always given by whoever's leading the service that evening, often Christy or one of her assistants. Last year, that was Tiara Davis and Charlie Johnson. Whoever it is, after giving thanks for our time together or something we're learning that week or experience there, they'll also pray for the preacher. And as a preacher, I always find that not just nice, but really meaningful, even moving. And I suspect that all the camp staff and other pastors do as well when it's their turn to be up front. So hold on to that image for just a moment, praying for the preacher just before the sermon. Because the other thing we're doing today is continuing our journey through the Gospel of Luke. And right after Luke shares all of the stories associated with Jesus' birth that we've been reading throughout Advent and Christmas, he jumps ahead in the story about 30 years and tells us about John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who is now full grown and is baptizing people in the River Jordan. Now, John is, from our standards today, and quite honestly, probably from the standards of his own day, more than a little different. Matthew and Mark, two of Luke's fellow gospel writers, tell us that John wore clothing made out of camel's hair and leather, and that his food was locusts and honey. You kind of get the feeling that John didn't always fit in. He lived out in the wilderness and was famous for baptizing all sorts of people. And just to be clear, John's baptisms weren't like ours, with parents in their Sunday best and sprinkling a little bit of water on a cute baby's forehead. No, this was more like John taking people from children to full-grown adults and just plain dunking them deep down in the River Jordan. And I'm not sure why. Maybe just because it's Camp Sunday, or maybe it's because John was known as someone who also got to preach by a beautiful body of water. I'm not sure why, but all week I kept wondering just how John's preaching would go over at COP. And truthfully, I'm not sure it would be a hit. I mean, imagine it with me for a moment. We've had our Singspiration with a Christmas carol at the end. We've sung Wide, Wide is the Ocean. We've heard campers offer a prayer and read scripture. We've confessed our faith, sung the pulpit song, and now it's time for the prayer before the sermon. And Christy, it could have been Charlie or Tiara, but I'm imagining it's Christy. Christy closes her eyes and says, Lord, we are so blessed to have this special place, a place where we come to know you better. And we're also blessed to have with us John. Truthfully, Lord, he's kind of a weird dude, but I kind of like that. And even more, I love his honesty and his passion. I ask that you be with him while he gives the sermon. And then John strides up to the pulpit, and as the kids take in the leather and the camel hair, maybe with a COP shirt over top, it gets kind of quiet. And all of a sudden, John calls out in a gravelly voice, you brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Because, well, that's what Luke reports John is preaching. And I imagine Christy glancing out over the chapel looking for Tiara and Charlie and wondering where this is all going. Just glad this is the High League retreat and not third and fourth grade week. As John continues, because this is what Luke says John preached, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Yeah, I just don't see that going over at camp. I think we'd be kind of upset, maybe a little offended, and pretty ready to wish John well on his way down Highway 69 back to the cities. Or maybe over to Green Bay, where we think he fits in a little better. But interestingly, that's not the way John's audience reacted. They're actually not shocked or offended or angry, but interested. In fact, as St. Luke writes, they ask him a simple and earnest question. What then should we do? And John has an answer. An answer that feels like something of a departure from his earlier words, because after announcing impending judgment with some vim and vigor, John's counsel seems rather mundane, even ordinary. To the crowds, he says, whoever has two coats must give one to anyone who has none. That is, share. To the tax collectors, he says, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. In other words, be fair. And to the soldiers, he says, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Or put another way, don't bully. Share. Be fair. Don't bully. Suddenly it seems like John would fit in at COP after all. Because this is what we try to teach our kids too, to be kind to each other. Because we know God loves each one of us, to respect each other as fellow children of God, to know ourselves as blessed, and to share those blessings with others. And those are lessons as simple and ordinary as John's teaching at the River Jordan, which may just be Luke's point all along, that faithfulness does not have to be heroic. That there are opportunities to do God's will and to be God's people all around us, at camp and at school, at work and at home, in our communities, and pretty much wherever we find ourselves. Wherever that is, we encounter someone in need. John's job, you see, is to prepare people to meet Jesus and to show them that being a disciple of Jesus is nothing more than treating the people around you like Jesus did, with honesty and care and compassion. And that's what we try to do at Cathedral of the Pines, too, to help our campers and volunteers and visitors to experience God's love firsthand so they can then share that love with others and grow into being more mature disciples of Christ. We've been doing that at COP, like I said, for 70 years now, and with the commitment and vision and generosity of this congregation, we're going to do it for decades to come. Because it's not just this church that needs COP, it's the world. The world, that is, needs more people committed to following Jesus, to care like he did, to love like he did, to treat each other, everyone, as God's beloved children, worthy of love and respect, just like he did. At the end of the day, I'm still not sure how John's preaching would have gone over at camp. But I have a hunch he would have liked it there, no matter how we reacted to his sermon, because John, as another gospel writer put it, John came to give testimony to the light that came into the world to be the light of all people. And at camp, there's a lot of light. It's not perfect, to be sure, but at its best, it feels pretty close, as the love of God made manifest in Jesus shines out from that place to enlighten the whole world. Because whenever you try to live like Jesus, you see, you are witnessing to the light that shines into the darkness, the light the darkness has not and cannot overcome. So it has been from John's day to our own, and from the shores of the River Jordan to those of Lake Caribou and everywhere in between. So it has been, and so may it always be. Thanks be to God. Amen.